Sci-Fi Party Line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
I am all right. How are you?
I'm doing just swell.
Swell. And I also have with me Eric.
Hey, what's up?
You were cracking me up, sir.
Enthusiastic as always.
And accomplished.
And today we're going to talk about the season finale of Game of Thrones. This podcast will encompass the Blackwater episode and Valar Morghulis. So if you have not seen those two episodes, turn it off. Don't want to hear you whining.
Spoilers.
Go. So if you've been following Eric and I and Carl, we've been doing our Game of Thrones reviews.
But we don't know anyone's name, so we will describe them by the colorful attire that they wear.
Or something, yeah, because it's hard at this point. You know, they have too many names, especially with the new name, Valar Morghulis, which is ridiculous. That was just such a...
Well, I don't know if that's his name. I guess it could be his name.
What do you think of the title? Or is
That's the magic incantation that calls the flip of the coin him to you, see?
Yes.
It's kind of like abracadabra.
Oh, it's like when Thor holds out his hand and the and Mjolnir comes to him?
If he yells by the power of Grayskull. Something like that.
No, but it could be his name, but it's... So I'm not saying it's not his name, but it could... But it's definitely the word to
summon him.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was annoyed by that because, yeah, we're just jumping in out of order, guys, so whatever, you know how we do by now.
Okay.
So he went from, like, this really cute guy that I like to this ugly thing guy that I don't want to see.
Well, you know he reminded me of? I mean, when he changes, he reminds me of that that bounty hunter in Attack of the Clones, how it's like a chick first, and then when she gets hit by the dart in the neck, and all of a sudden she changes to, like, I guess her true form. You remember that?
Yes, the lizard bar chick driver. Yes, right.
Is that Star Wars episode 2?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one that much.
What? Okay, anyway. But the reason she reminds me, because when she changed...
You're surprised about that? Like...
Well, I would understand if it was episode 1, but episode 2 is all right.
Well, because Liam Neeson's in the first one, so that's the only reason why, you know, I would do.
But anyway, when that bounty hunter changes to the regular self, it kind of resembled... what he changes into in Game of Thrones, so just, you know, with the weird cheekbones and everything.
Yeah, I
and,
like it.
But less lizardy.
Less lizardy, true.
Less lizardy. That's what we need. So let's talk about Blackwater a little bit. Let's kind of go back in order. I was a little underwhelmed by this. Only thing that I can think was that it reminded me of Army of Darkness, Evil Dead 3. you couldn't really see anything. There was like the big shiny blue impressive explosion. I like that. Then after that it was dark. Everything was like sleight of hand, smoke and mirrors. You just couldn't really see what was going on. And I think it was by design, because maybe there was some budget issues and they was like reusing guys, and this guy was already exploded, but we're gonna show him again. And
it would have been hilarious if they just, like, threw skull, you know, guys at him like they did in, with the battle in Living Dead. Well, anyway. Yes, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. That if he turned around, you know, Tyrion turned around and he had a chainsaw in his hand, awesome. That would have been perfect. But, yeah, I felt the smallness of it as well. I thought the strategy... of the you know, the liquid fire was awesome. I mean, just wait for it. Wait, that was just dramatic and awesome. But when they finally made it on the beach and they're trying to get under the castle, we've been jaded. All the great, you know, battles that we have seen, you know, Lord of the Rings and everybody else, and it did seem a little small given the scope of everything else they've done on Game of Thrones. It just seemed to be over too quick. Because I was so excited after the explosion. I thought, oh they're going to bring it now. It's going to be really... Yeah. And it just kind of like, oh, someone got swiped across the face. We turned around and Pops was there with the army.
I know. It bothered me. And then, you know, it was interspersed with Cersei drinking, calling what's-her-face Little Dove. And it was just bizarre. It was bizarre to me. And I was just...
We waited like four episodes for this battle to occur and for the battle to wrap up in a quarter of the episode. That was kind of disappointing.
Eric,
well, I'll admit, first going into it, I thought the battle was going to take place over the last two episodes.
Yep,
is what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Of course, it was just in the one, and of course. I basically agree with everything you guys said about it. I'm sure it was for budgetary reasons, and it was, you know, drawn down.
It was nice, yeah.
Because, of course, in the book, it's written to the scale of, like, the assault on Helm's Deep and the Two Towers.
Yep, back to Helm's Deep.
It's written that big in the book. But the way they did it, I thought it was good enough. It wasn't as big as I wanted it to be, but all things considered, because in Season 1... there was a big battle near the end of the story, which they completely didn't show at all.
Oh, I was about to say, really? Because I missed that.
Well, yeah, they didn't show it at all. It's the one where Tyrion gets knocked out. Of course, that doesn't happen in the book, but in the series where he gets knocked out, that battle. That was kind of big in the book, and they didn't even show it like 1 second of that battle. So just to at least get a quarter of an episode and actually get to see something, I felt like, well, that's a lot more than nothing, so... Like,
I mean, yeah, I felt that way too, and I thought it was good enough. Like, if like we knew some friends on there that was working on it, and they said, "Yeah, we did that battle," it'd be like, "Dude, that shit was dope," you know, because it was really good. Like, if I had my budget and I wanted to pull it off, and if I did it, I'd be proud of it. They should be proud of it. However, we've jaded and we've seen a whole bunch of stuff. Fantasy fans, in particular. Mm-hmm. So,
and in the book, like I said, it was much longer. One thing they skipped out on that they just completely omitted, which I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but throughout the entire book in King's Landing, Tyrion is always saying something about, I want a chain, make me chain links. And he doesn't explain why, but he's constantly bringing, throughout the whole, like, let's say the series, he's like, you know, I want all the blacksmiths to be making chains, and I want all the metal in the whole entire city to be melted down. I just want chain links. And nobody gets what he's talking about. It's a mystery until you get to the final battle and he reveals like his master plan and how the ships come into the little bay or whatever. In the book, he has this massive chain that like closes off the end of the bay. Mm-hmm. So once all the ships go in, he like blocks them off. And then they do the fire, you know, all that stuff. But I'm not saying that had to be in the show or anything. I'm just saying it, little layers like that were, like, interesting while reading. Because little things like that had you wondering. And then you saw, oh, and it made Tyrion seem, like, really smart. Because he was hinting at it, like, very early on in the beginning of the book. Even though he didn't know what it was for. And then there was more stuff with the fire because... Even though they burned down Stannis' fleet, as you saw, I mean, they also burned up some of their own guys on accident, because, of course, that stuff is, like, really dangerous. And there was all this other maneuvers with archers and blah, 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 blah. But, it was all right for the small screen, I thought. And, God, people on Twitter were just, like, erupting. Like,
they
like,
were.
Oh, greatest thing I've ever seen on television.
The response to it was epic, you know, and maybe, like, I mean, because Eric, you were watching it on a big screen. Was it epic looking? Because I have to watch everything on my computer.
Well, the explosion definitely surprised me, because actually the explosion itself was much bigger than it as written. Like, it was like medieval, nuclear warfare, which is not, it's not quite on that. It's more like napalm in the book. Mm. It's more almost nuclear in the show.
Oh dear.
And so I was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that explosion and all that.
I hope they didn't use the whole budget for the show on that damn explosion.
No, no, that was CG, so that's okay. But still, yeah, and again, you know how I'm talking about crescendos and building to things. If you start with the nuclear detonation, you know, you really kind of want the rest of the battle to have some kind of punch to it. You
think? Yeah, they did lead with that. They should have. Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
and I was, and the one thing I was waiting for that I didn't get, which you get in the book, is with because of the wildfire, whatever the heck it's called. I was just waiting to see a burning person like fall into the water, but then to still show him on fire underwater. Like I was like, come on! Like I was just waiting, like come on, any minute now. But they never gave me that visual. Like so, that was like my one disappointment. Because just wanted to show that hey, this stuff is
okay.
Really burning. Really burning. Yeah.
That's so. What else about Blackwater? I just remember Cersei being like, almost felt sorry for her a little bit because she knew that either they would come through it or she was gonna die that night or be raped or, she, you know, she was just going through it and she's like, I wish I was a man so I could be out there fighting the fight, but I'm here protecting the women. You know, you cowering biddies is basically what she called them. And
yeah, she wasn't real happy to be there with the ladies, and she was doing her best to scare the crap out of Sansa too. Poor Sansa was like, well, we could all sing a hymn together. No, no hymn. I got you a hymn.
On her Cersei balls. Yeah, no. I don't know what else happened in that episode, Eric.
I don't know, because like because we didn't even really see anything. I don't recall really seeing it much with Jon Snow at all, and I guess there's a little bit with Tyrion. Was that the episode where we got, or did we already know that the kids weren't killed yet at that point?
Yeah, it might have been the end of the one previous to that.
But still, nothing really major with Theon, and if they did show Daenerys, which I think they did a little bit, it was still more marking time. So yeah, everyone else is pretty much put on hold. Except for the big fight. Yeah. Was that when we got the big Rob Snow like sex scene?
Oh yeah, that was you and I talked about that.
Yeah, so I guess that already happened. So yeah, so you know, it's just King's Landing.
That didn't happen in the book, Carl. That chick and the whole development of her didn't happen in the book. He just
I explained. She was kind of in the book. She's kind of like her character. It's kind of like Arwen in the Lord of the Rings books, whereas she's mentioned, but she doesn't really even have a speaking role, you know, in the books.
No, wait, who are we talking about here?
Arwen in Lord of the Rings.
I mean from Game of Thrones. Oh, which who are we talking about?
Rob Stark's Nurse Chapel or whatever, the nurse on the battlefield.
Oh, gotcha. Right. Okay. Yeah. I remember. Yeah. Thank you. That I got it too. I know.
I meant to say Florence Nightingale, but yeah, but her.
Oh, I love you, dude. Yeah. So.
But I get it though. Again, that's not a criticism of the show.
Yeah. No. I kind of like that they added.
It's probably better, because otherwise, really, if they didn't develop her for the TV series, Rob really doesn't have much to do for this entire season. Because in the book, he's mostly absent as well.
So. Isn't he at battle?
Yeah, he's pretty much in battle like the whole time, but not battles that we see, you know, in text or on screen, just away.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's...
So I guess, you know, they pretty much change that all up.
All right, well, how about that thing with Sansa and the Hound? Was that happening in this episode? You know, these last two kind of blurred together.
Yes, because I thought they went away together, but she was still there the next time. So I thought, like, what was that about?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think, after he saved her from the rapists in the village, I saw there was a little spark of something, because that's the first time we saw any kind of sympathy or any kind of humanity coming out of the Hound.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, for the lovely maiden, it made sense that he'd fall for her. But
that's what that was? He was falling for her?
Well, yeah, he was showing that he detested her less than most people.
Oh dear. Okay. Which that's what I got, but I didn't think that was love.
Well, for the Hound, that's high praise.
Yeah, I think Carl's pretty much on the money. I think
he is on the money because I didn't expect that it was like love, but for him, I guess it would be.
It's not like he stumbled on. He went back to get her. Remember, he went looking for her and then found her in there. It's not like, he just happened past them, which, would have been a little something else. So, yeah, he made the effort. He made the effort.
He'd been trying to give her little snide remarks and stuff like that since her dad got decapitated, so.
Well, maybe that was his, little love punch. Little flirt in action from the Hound.
So, okay, so explain to me what you got from that conversation in her chambers.
The last part, nothing more than a confirmation of what his feelings were, hey, let's get out of here. These people are crazy up in here. They're putting the whole joint down. I just been following orders and I'm tired of it. Him in the middle of the battle, kind of looking around and seeing the futility of what he was dealing with.
No, that's not what I saw. What I saw was that he started freaking out because there was a fire everywhere and his face is half burned off. He's half Freddy Krueger and he's like, that's his weakness, fire. So he was like, screw this. I'm not dealing with this fire.
Yeah, true. But I mean, I saw both of what you both just said.
Oh, okay. Well,
I agree with both of you.
That's interesting. I forgot about the face. And yeah, it probably was fire. So maybe that was his real fear. I just saw, I didn't recognize that it was fire was why he was afraid.
I think he mentioned it, though.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. That's because we only watched it once. So whatever. Yeah. But continue. Yeah. I'm sorry. I kind of cut you off there.
Oh, no, nothing. It was just, this is the most human he's seemed throughout the entire series. He finally reached out to Sansa. He's kind of like, okay, this is some craziness going on here. Let's get out of here. Let's you and me run away together. And expect that from the Hound was quite surprising. And Sansa was like, well.
You won't hurt me, will you? And then they like fade to black and we don't know. I thought, okay, is she going with them? Or are they like going to see her running through a tunnel the next... And then, no, it's just nothing.
That's all right.
He'll come back for her.
I guess he needs some surgery or something.
He's sleepless in Winterfell.
Oh, Carl, that's painful. That is painful.
I sent my pigeon for you.
Oh, man, that's hurtful. Okay, so I guess that's enough of Blackwater, unless you guys have any...
I just wish it was bigger. I mean, I agree. It was good enough, but I wish it had been bigger.
And also because it is the big end of the second book, I was like, so what's gonna happen in episode 10?
Yeah.
So yeah, that left me a little bit wondering, for the last episode, because pretty much ends right there.
Yeah.
After that.
So yeah, I mean, is that for TV? Was that really good? I'm trying to think. What have we seen anything that's big on TV?
I think it was good for TV.
But have we seen something outdo it for TV? Because if it is, if not, then I guess it has to be the best on TV.
If we have, it has to be like some crazy finale, like in Stargate or something, or some epic like battles. Like it's the kind of thing like with Battlestar Galactica when they had the whole like Adama like drop through the atmosphere.
No.
That's one that made like nerdom implode at the time when it happened.
I mean, but then again, it was something we hadn't really seen before. So again, I'm always about the innovation. If you're gonna do something we've seen before, well then you gotta match.
You can't really get innovative with fantasy. I mean, Lord of the Rings kind of ruined it for everybody because every time there's a battle, you see the two epic forces come together, crash, and then. Hey, you think about Helm's Deep every time.
But you got to match it. Now, I mean, that was years ago on in the movies. What they're doing with cable now, with the technology and everything, you got to match what we've seen.
But still, I still don't think though you want your big Return of the Jedi epic battle because this is still just season 2 or book 2. So there, you see, in Lord of the Rings terms, like. We're still like in the
Shire.
What do you call it? No, not the Shire. No, but we're barely getting out of
Isengard?
No, like Fellowship of the Ring, the Mountain, the Minas Tirith, or I don't want to get my things mixed up.
I'm just throwing locations out.
With me and my crescendos, here's the issue. You cannot, with the life of a TV series in jeopardy, you can't wait for the full scope of the book to match the level of action. All right, because, you know, think about how many great series have died off before the big scene should have been. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, if we had just survived five more episodes, then this would have happened. Well, you don't want things to fail or fall off before you get to the big scene. You got to hit us, you know. Game of Thrones is great, and the scale of what they're able to pull off is incredible, and they keep everything interesting, and it's great. But you still got to keep us interested. And you can't say, well, I'm going to wait until book one before things get really exciting with the series.
I totally agree with you, but there's two things, though. One thing is that I think we don't represent the masses who are watching the show, because it's so, like, the buzz is ridiculously positive and still is now. And like, if you look at the ratings for season two, every single episode of season two beat season one. So, yeah. Like, they're totally on track. They're totally not doing anything wrong in those terms. And then the other thing, like, I thought the battle was okay. I thought it was big enough. My bigger complaint for season two is episodes 1 through 8, not 9 and 10. Because, I don't think we needed a bigger battle in episode 9. To me, we should have had more of the mini adventures that are in the book. In episodes 1 through 8, little things to, you know, keep you going. Instead, what we got was a ton of exposition.
Yeah.
Where I feel like we should have had those mini side quests instead and seen the side quests take place on screen rather than to hear everybody talk about them, you know, in like all these different scenes in different chambers and different dining halls. Like, because that's essentially what we got for episode 1 through 8. And that's not the way it's written. And, you know, obviously they show us what happens.
I don't think it would have cost that much more if they'd done it right. I just, it's crazy.
So 9 and 10, episodes 9 and 10, I'm like, they're okay with me. It's 1 through 8 where I have my big issues of season 2.
But yeah, that's why I'm upset, because like 1 through 8, we get all this nothing, and then they're trying to cram all this crap into 9 and 10, and I was just over it.
Especially
with the end of 10. Oh,
so what? We haven't even talked about the 10th episode.
Okay,
yet.
Let's go ahead and start with the 10th episode.
Yeah.
Divine Gravity is what I was thinking about when you were talking about what you were saying, Carl. What? About don't wait until the last.
Yeah. it's one of many. There, you know. Look, it's Sarah. What is it? Sarah Connor Chronicles? Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Kill me now. Yeah. All right. Okay.
The
sorry.
Cersei.
I miss that show. I really do. Okay.
Even though it is Cersei.
Cersei, but, you know, we didn't see her in that way. Okay. So, where to start? What? Somebody else take it this start if you want to. Because I'm not sure where I want to go, because I want to start with the end, and I don't
I'll jump in a little bit.
Okay,
here.
Thank you.
I miss Daenerys. I've been trying to figure out what was going on with her and her poor little dragons.
Yeah.
So, you know, to see her finally heading to the wizard's headquarters. You guys called it. It was the wizards. The dark wizards made off with her dragons. And the cool walk around the circle and then disappearing. I saw that coming. I knew
circle
that
jerk.
Was coming.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not going there.
Sorry.
Wow, you're really opening the door.
I'm sorry.
Not going
so
there.
So sorry.
But I thought her experience was interesting there. I mean, not just going into the castle, the wizard's castle, but her little firing it up with the dragons there.
Oh.
And that was kind of cool, you know, taking out the dark wizard. And then our guy, what's his name? You know, the king with all the treasure locked away.
I knew nothing was
Zarrow Zohan Daxos.
I knew there was nothing in there, because when a guy takes you to a vault and show you some shit, but he don't open it up and let you see the goods, there's nothing in there.
I'm not touching that one either.
I'm not saying that's happened to me, but I'm just saying, just tell, like, you know what? This guy don't have jack crap in there, because if he's doing all this talking and he's not opening and showing the gold and all these riches, that dude don't have crap in there. He didn't even have a goblet in that.
I will simply say that he had the whole feel of a hustler about him from the start. So, I mean, just the advice that he was given Daenerys when he first met her and all that. Well, when I first got here, I didn't have anything. I'm not going to say I saw it coming, but I will say that, you know, I knew that he was playing a different kind of game, that he had something, that he was pulling something that perhaps the other guys that were around there would not have been able to pull off. So I had a feeling something like that was going on. I think it's rough that he threw in the, that she threw him in the vault.
No,
though.
I would have done that. I was starting to think, like, if you caught that, I would have done exactly that. And then I would have wondered, like, how does it work? Like, how do they die exactly? You know, because like when you go, you see like Legend, what was it, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and you see like bones just laying around and stuff and ratty clothes. Like, how does that work exactly? Will they look like that? How long would it take for them to look like that? Will there be like guts and stuff surrounding them? Like, how would they die exactly? In
what, starvation first?
I know, but then like, how would the body decay? And then like, how long would it take for them to become bones? Because then that's when I'd let.
Interesting sidetrack.
This is an interesting sidetrack.
I'm just saying, like, how? Because like, how would they die? Would one person kill a person and try to eat? Would somebody try to dig their way out? Would somebody come get them? It would just be interesting to see like their death.
All right, we'll get these pathologists on the scene here.
Yeah, no. it's more like a CSI body farm thought more than it is morbid. So whatever, or whatever, I don't care. I'm being weird. Well, you kind of jumped ahead a little bit, but did you enjoy, like, we saw Ronan Dex from SGA again, the husband, right? And they're in her little dream sequence.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten.
It's like, who are we talking about?
Yeah, I forgot his name in the series. Drogo.
Khal Drogo.
Yeah. Drogo. We saw Drogo. We saw her baby that might have been.
Yeah, but I enjoyed
seeing him.
Well, I know you enjoyed seeing him, but the question is...
I like the way Jopinion Aiden said it on Twitter. It's like Daenerys, what'd she do? She went like into the sideways. She traveled sideways in time. That's the way she put it in Lost terms. Because that's essentially what we were seeing. The alternate world where Drogo lives.
Okay, but tell me, what were we supposed to have gotten from that?
It's like... you have to choose your own adventure, and if she had chosen wrong, she would have been trapped in that room forever, living out a fake life, and I guess in a prison, right?
So by seeing him, this was her choosing a bolder path to.
She's choosing the path of the queen, of the hero. She doesn't want to do anything that's fake. She's choosing what's real and what's tangible now.
Okay.
Maybe it was like Picard in Generations.
Yeah.
Like, he went to the, was it called the Nexus or the...
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
I guess it was kind of like that with him seeing the whole, you could have had all these grandchildren and it could be Christmas every day.
Yeah. Oh, so the fact that she walked away from Drogo at that part was supposed to be her saying, okay, I'm not going to accept the illusion. I'm going to be...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, I'll take that.
She eventually fell in love with the guy and she, you know, wanted her baby. She wanted her family. Like, she was really hurt. You can tell that.
Right.
And to see him again, especially him, you know.
No, my female friends... That was her favorite part of the whole episode, of like the whole season.
Many of the ladies I know like that scene as well. So that's why I'm just trying to figure out, what were we supposed to learn? Other than, oh, he's back. I'm so glad he's got a job.
He didn't have a shirt on. It was so great.
All right.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, he was so sweet and tender, and there's a little baby, and it's just, you know, who would not want to stay right there? I would want to be right there, and for her to choose those three damn dragons over that man piece of sir.
This is sad. This is so sad. So basically, we'd be losing Kat to the Nexus just like that. As we know right now, if Kat ever goes into those worlds, she goes into the wardrobe or whatever, she's never coming back. Just need to dangle a little Drago Neesum around her. She's gone. She's gone.
So then, so I was like, oh my God, we're going to have a dream sequence. But then we had, you know, Drogo in the dream sequence, so I didn't think it was that bad. And then she got out of it and she went to the dragons and they were in chains. And then it looked a little weird when she said fire or whatever word she used for the dragons say fire. They kind of did a little baby belch up or whatever they did, baby burp. And then they did the fire, but like, why didn't her dress get on fire? Because it was really close. And
well, she doesn't burn, so you know.
Yeah. She doesn't burn. And I don't know. It wasn't just that they got killed by physical fire, because there's definitely magic at work going on there.
Well, okay, right. Good. Thank you for explaining that, because I was like, well, how did he die? Because that's just weird that, you know, he set a fire and all of a sudden it's Michael Jackson in the Pepsi commercial, you know, like,
oh,
sorry. But I thought that and I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
Why did he catch on fire so fast?
Yeah, it's undefined, but she has some type of magic and that's, you know.
No doubt. One, we know for sure the girl don't burn. So that's that. That right there, we know that's going on. And yes, you got dragons. There's magic involved in that. So,
okay.
which is why the wizards wanted the dragon so bad. You know, there was some. It was like they would be able to tap the energy from the dragons for what they were doing. So yeah, I got that. I didn't have a problem with her.
I mean, I didn't have a problem with it, but it was just something the way it was framed or whatever. It was just weird looking to me, like. The way her arms were kind of outspread and they were doing it underneath her arms. And I don't know, it was just something weird about the way it looked, mm-hmm. but it was awesome.
Anyway, oh yeah.
But it just, I was just like, what is it looking like that? It's weird, but it was still awesome. Cause it's like, finally, she got those damn dragons
mm-hmm, to do Seriously. Something. They just been in a basket covered with a sheet for about four episodes. Oh, could have been a cat in there for all we knew. So, it was finally good to see him out and doing something constructive.
Putting him to work.
Thank you. That's right. And I burned up my whole family for these dragons. Do something.
Yeah. Then I love the way she walked out and then she was cuddling them and they were, you know, kissy face or whatever. So it took the whole season for this to happen. I'm a little upset about that, but I liked it.
It was a good episode. It was definitely enjoyable. I like to see her evolution throughout the series. You know, who she's becoming is getting more and more interesting. And they did a good job of showing us, you know, not telling us, not sitting over a table hearing, and we hear that Daenerys has got her dragons back. Really? Pass the wine. You know, no, I want to see how it's happening. It's one of the more interesting characters.
What'd you think about that, Eric? That whole sequence with...
No, I mean, it was fine. I was okay with all of it. It's just they obviously jiggered it to be like an end piece, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Daenerys, she didn't really have much to do for the entire second book. And this should have happened already, but you know they did it in such a way that, like I said, it's like an end cap. But I'm okay with it. And
yeah.
I'm like... Yeah. Whatever, and it was good, and it was great. You know, obviously, it loosely mirrored like the end of season one, with the way it ended on a high note.
Yeah,
it was cool, and they totally. I mean, they ramped it up. Not necessarily the stuff in the temple, but the stuff with Zaro Zohan.
Now, who is that again?
Her. What do you call it?
Is that the player
sponsor.
With the empty vault?
Oh, okay.
Player with the empty vault? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because, unless I'm mistaken, he didn't have any empty vault. He wasn't really, you know, he wasn't that shiesty. He was shiesty, but he wasn't that shiesty. He didn't have no empty vault. The whole, her maiden sleeping with him, I'm not 100% sure that happened. Is manufactured. They weren't, there was no empty vault. They weren't locked in no vault. It was all for the TV show, but I'm okay with that.
That was nice because I thought that chick died. I thought that chick died in the, you know, massacre of her whole little crew, and she was there. Pow, chicka, pow, pow.
But that was all manufactured for television, but I'm okay with it because otherwise, if they would have just done it the way it was done, I guess everyone would have been bored. It was a lot less melodramatic. It was just like, no, I want to leave. No, please stay. No. I gotta go. Oh, boo. You know, like, you know, so I guess that wasn't good enough for TV.
Well, they did that, and then they added their little twist, so.
Yeah, but it was okay. It was okay. Yeah, you know, they ramped it up, and it wasn't like it was unbelievable or anything. And all right, it's cool.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go back to Winterfell with
With Theon?
Theon. He gave this big speech.
His Braveheart speech. Theon cannot catch a break, can he? He just they would not let the man be the lead.
I was pumped up. I was like, oh I was God. Too. I was like,
finally, he's his growing balls, up.
They're growing. Yes. Wow, look at the size of those things.
They go with so little dignity. That was just so wrong. He's like, throw him in the bag. Let's go.
Put a burlap sack over his head, clubbed him like a baby seal. It was terrible. Yeah. Oh, it was. And then they, you know, shanked the
old. Yeah, that was rough. You ain't had to shank the old dude. That was unnecessary. All he asked is, what are you doing?
He did. That's all he said.
What are you doing? Ah, shank that old man. Golly, man, I was just coming up in my shoes.
Then that dude somehow made it to Home Tree, and then he's going to die.
Oh, yeah, that was very dramatic, wasn't it? Must survive next day and a half with no blood. You know, I just must plant myself under beautiful tree. Oh, that was crazy.
I was like, how'd you make it there? And why? Because he thought maybe the spirits would heal him or something.
Yeah, he made it.
At the healing tree or something.
I don't know about all that. I think he just wanted a pretty place to die.
That's funny. So, man, Theon, I don't know what's going to happen to him now. Because they didn't respect him. I thought they were pumped up. Didn't they look like they were listening to him? They were like, yeah, rah! And then they like,
did. They came around.
Shut up. I was like, oh, hell. He put that together well. And they just.
Yeah. Even though the strategy was miserable. You know, let's just march into them. I just told you there are a number of exits beneath. I say we march outside with them. There's actually a small car that will take all of you safely. We're going to march out into the cannon fodder. We're going into battle. I have a map. You know, it's just, he was not listening. He was not listening to the
No, that was ridiculous. Poor guy. Oh, they will sing songs about us. People will name their children after us. And he, like, burlap sack, boom, you're done.
That's a shame.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. Was that in the book, Eric?
Well, to be honest, that whole business took me by surprise. Because up to where I've been reading, I don't know what's happened yet in Winterfell with Theon. So I haven't even... That has not even been revealed to me yet. So I didn't even know what was happening. And I was like, okay, all right. So that was all new to me. So I can't even say how that goes in the book because I haven't got there yet. So, as far as I knew, he's still in Winterfell doing something. So that was news to me. One thing there was a minor battle that happened at Winterfell earlier in the story, which they completely skipped over, but that was no big deal.
I guess that's why they skipped over it.
So I kind of thought maybe, are they about to have that little battle? Like, you know, because it seemed like they're about to, you know, get it on. But no, it was some strange exits, but yeah, like it took me by surprise because I don't know what's going on with Theon. He hasn't entered into the third book yet where I'm at.
Okay. So. Well, that's good. All right, let's go to King's Landing. Tywin has just entered on his horse, which took crap in the building where he's going to get his, I guess, reward and become Hand of the King.
Yes.
So I was taken aback by the crapping.
That was very authentic. Have you ever been to a parade?
Don't they put like crap bags on horses?
Only at the classy ones.
I've never seen a crap bag.
Only at the classy parades.
I've never seen a crap bag. I just see the crap.
In Houston, all of the horses have crap bags.
Yeah, there must be an ordinance or something. That ain't what I've seen.
Hello?
Hello? Did we lose Eric?
No, I just muted because Some little kid has hijacked my room. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Like a kid off the street? I mean, what's going on? So, no. Even I think the police horses even have crap bags.
Well, probably the police horses do. But like I said, most parades I've been in, nah, they no crap
they
bags.
They let the horses crap on the street.
They just know, and there's a guy with a broom and a shovel
that
follows. Yes.
But it's just so much more sanitary to just give the horse a crap bag.
We're still talking about that?
Yes, you missed the discussion, the breakdown. But I was telling her, I remember the guy with the shovel and the broom. That's who I saw at the parade.
Yeah, to be fair, I haven't been to like a real live parade like in years and years, like more than a decade.
They have crap bags now. You just don't walk into the throne room. And it just, it's like he had some disdain. He, like, ordered his horse to take a shit because in the building because he didn't care for being Hand of the King. He wants to be the king.
Yeah.
Like, how is he Hand of the King?
I'm sure that's part of what the message was. That's very theatrical. Because crap was a symbol. It was a symbolism of exactly how he was feeling about what had gone down there. He's like, I left all these kids running this joint, and you darn near lost it. Hey, I gotta come in here now. So
And they put like Tyrion in like a broom closet. You don't take up much room. This is big enough for you. I'm like, dude.
He's the hero. Yeah.
Saving y'all asses. He manipulated the whole thing to where y'all could get the biggest advantage. He has now Scarface. You know, and y'all treat him like that. Put him in the room with like the sewing machines and the books and stuff. That ain't right.
Broom closet. He's in the broom closet.
So I think he deserved better, but I don't know what's gonna cook because he have no stature now. He has nothing basically. And what was I thought was great was that he said he didn't want to leave because he likes it. Even in his state right now, he likes where he is because he feels that he can manipulate his situation even at his lowest.
Well, he doesn't like where he is, but he just likes the, you know,
he likes the game of it.
Of the game, exactly.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. And there's no other, I mean, you look at him, he is uniquely suited for that kind of world, that kind of space, that kind of, you know, crazy diplomacy that he has. He is uniquely suited to do that. Everybody underestimates him, and he's brilliant, and he succeeds by the arrogance of the rich around him. He manages to navigate all of that. It's fun. It's fun to watch.
And he almost got, you know, his ticket punched.
Yeah, well, that's when he was trying to be the hero all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'm kind of mad that nobody they was like, you did all this for us, and yeah, we're going to broom closet you.
I like when he was heading off to war, and the guy hands him the little battle axe, and he says, "Well, I saw what you did with a shield. You ought to really be able to hurt somebody with this." You know, I mean that. And sure enough, when the first dude he runs up to, yoke right across the back of the leg, that guy went down. It was great.
Well, he did his best. I was kind of proud of it, but you know, yeah.
At least nobody took him away in a burlap bag.
Oh! So. we don't know how he got off the battlefield.
He's carried with dignity.
So what do you think about that, Eric?
Yeah, all that King's Landing stuff was like, that's like the beginning of book three. So it was interesting to see it fill time here. Yeah, I mean, it's even more devastating in the book. I mean, because it's shown in much more detail in the book how Tyrion really does save the city. Because there's so much more to it, you know, in the big epic battle and all the little things he had strategized. And he killed, like, a ton of people with his bare hands. He was, like, really heroic in the book. And then, the book ends with you not knowing what happens after he gets slashed. It's like a cliffhanger, you know, till the next one. But, you know, obviously you saw him wake up. And I was wondering how they were going to do it, too, because from his wound across the face, he actually loses the tip of his nose
in the book.
And so I was wondering, like, wow, are they going to have, like, Dinklage with, like, no nose, like, for the rest of but
yeah, that would be too much. It would be too irritating.
It would be too much. But yeah. I'm just saying, that's how – but it's just that much more devastating in the book that he loses his nose you know, along with everything else. And it's so much worse, like the way he gets no fame, he gets no credit. Like it's really like wow, because he single-handedly like basically wins that whole battle, and his dad comes in and gets like all the credit, and yeah. And his dad like distributes like all these awards to like everybody else who, you know, fought for King's Landing, but Tyrion gets nothing.
That is messed up.
Put him in the broom closet. I mean, seriously, that was the hardest part to watch. Because, you know, yeah. We knew what he'd been through.
And Tyrion thought that he was going to make his father proud because of what, you know, what obviously took place.
Yep.
But his dad's like, yeah, right. Like, you're totally dreaming. Like, mm-hmm. You know.
So he don't believe that Tyrion did all that stuff?
He doesn't think that Tyrion had that much of a role to play with the success of the whole thing. You know, and he, like, totally downplays whatever accomplishments Tyrion had. And let's not forget, too, that supposedly it was his sister who told one of the Gold Guards to take her brother out, which you know, they show in the series, to make it even worse.
That's right. That's true. Mm-hmm.
So it's bad times for him. Like, really bad times.
Man. All right, well, let's go to Dragonstone with Stannis and the Red Priestess, because that's pretty quick. He's like, you told me I was going to win the war, and blah, blah, blah. And then he says something like he killed his brother, Lord Renly.
Yeah.
Remember,
but I thought the smoke killed
him. Well, he was, you know, he was like, go get him. So he counts that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was his
decision to start all of that. So, okay. Yeah.
And then after all that, after she was wrong, after she was full of it, she just makes him look into a candle, and then everything is right as rain.
She's magic. Who knows?
I don't know. It's TBD. Because I honestly don't know what happens there either with Stannis. Because you know, like I don't even know yet. So that's. It's still TBD. I don't know where that's going.
Well, he's kind of boring me right now, because, like...
Well, that's the way Stannis always is. Okay. I mean, by design, he is very boring and stale and just, like, blah.
They could just let it stay right there, and they can look into that candle for the remainder of the books, and I'd be fine without ever revisiting that. Let's go to Brienne.
Oh yeah. Again, more from book 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But
so she's hanging out with Jaime Lannister, transporting him, and they come across three hanging ladies of the night. And three soldiers who happen to put them in that condition, and it did not end well for them.
Well, it ended quickly for two, yeah, and slowly for one. So, I'm choosing not to pay attention to where that sword may have gone.
Because it looks like
she was right in there.
Somewhere, and then she tossed something.
She was right in there. So. there was, you know, some hand twisting. I don't know what
something was
going on.
Tossed.
Yeah,
I didn't notice the tossing, but I definitely noticed the impaling, the slow impaling.
Yeah. Impaling, yeah, that was brutal. I'm not saying that they didn't deserve it, because they did, but what we got from this was Jaime respects her now.
Well, darn right about that, or at least fears her real good.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna mess with her like that.
Yeah, so I mean, he saw the way she handled
three soldiers, three on her.
And so fast. She's very quick and very precise, and I think he was impressed. I was impressed, and so I can't wait to see what happens with them.
Yeah, that's a fun traveling pair right there. Those two are gonna have wacky conversations the way.
I do not serve the Starks. I serve Lady Catelyn. Mm-hmm. Like, geez, how many more times can you say it, woman?
And, you know, you see where the conversation's going. He's like, so, you get many dates back in high school? I will not answer your question. Yeah. It must have been really tough at the prom. You know, I don't know what you were doing. Just, shut up, you're annoying me. That's the whole way, those two.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be pretty good. I wonder if they're going to come up with a name for him now. You know, just to have one backup name so they won't have to go through that again.
Yeah, one that they both agree on.
Yeah.
Answer at the same time. Oh, man, we didn't think about that.
Oh, that's great. let's see. Rob gets married.
Oh, wait, real quick on the Brienne thing.
Okay.
Again, they're taken from book three, and forgive me because I'm going to say like how it really happened, and I'm assuming they're not going to show us this in season three when they get around to it. I'm assuming what we just saw took the place of this, because you know, basically seeing Brienne be badass. Because what happened in the book before that, before they get out of the little boat, basically what they omitted was something again, one of those mini adventures that they prior to that in the book. They're on the river in the little boat, and they get chased by, like, a rather large river. They call it a galley or whatever. They're getting chased by a large sailboat on the river with all these River Run guys, and they're obviously outmanned and everything. And then there's this crazy, like, Indiana Jones scene, like, where, like, Brienne, like, does, like, a Jack Sparrow and, like, jumps onto the galley and is like running across the beams and like cutting sails and like killing dudes and like she like single-handedly like takes out the whole boat and then like jumps off on a branch and then gets back in the little rowboat and Jamie Lannister's like, what the F, like she just like, because she goes crazy like spider, like she's like all over the place like running and jumping and killing dudes and just does all this crazy stuff and then she like takes out the whole ship like single-handedly. Awesome. And he's just like, what? And so that's what you got instead, was her taking out three dudes real quick.
Now I'm disappointed. I'm so disappointed right
and
now.
And I remember reading it. I remember reading it thinking, are they going to show this on screen? Like this big boat chase? And I was like, meh.
Amazing. Oh, I'm mad that I know that now.
Forgive me if they somehow splice that into next season, but I don't think they are. Oh. I really don't. But it's cool.
But what you got was fine. Go back to the impaling.
I was really impressed with just that, and now it's like we got hamburger. Steak. Oh, man. Okay, so now before we got into that, I was talking about Rob got married.
Yeah.
To the chick who really is not supposed to speak.
Yeah. So
that happened, and I suppose we're going to see some fallout next season.
And again, I haven't finished all of next season, so to speak, but it's still happy times in Westeros right now. I think next season is when we get all Empire or all... Let's say, I don't want to say too much, maybe some Joss Whedon moments or something. Let's enjoy things now, you know, while we're still on a high.
This is a high? All right.
Yeah, because I'm not even 100% sure, but from what I've seen or what I've read, I'm thinking dark days are coming.
One thing that we have seen with Game of Thrones is don't get attached to anybody on this series.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just when you think, oh, he's great. Yup, there's his head on a stake. You know, it's like, oh, no.
There's going to be some magic. He's going to be next season. No, he's actually dead.
Dead.
Well, that's very true. You know, no one's safe. But as I told Kat in the last episode, too, but on the other side of that coin, whether you're reading or watching the show, unless you actually see a person get mauled or decapitated or whatever, unless you see it on screen or read it in text, don't necessarily take that for granted either. So there's two sides to that coin. So just
saying. I'll take it. That's fine. I'll take it.
All right. So now let's get back to where we kind of started with the outskirts of Harrenhal, where a little Arya has escaped and she's... Dealing with Valar Morghulis, Barfangul, whatever the damn name.
I know we talked about this at the top of the show, but
yeah, I just
you were disappointed with his, you know,
I don't,
looks.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he'll look different next season too. And
but I, the first time I read it, I thought that was a cool thing. Like
it yep. is, but maybe he should have turned into a hotter guy.
Okay, now can we move
okay,
on
fine.
To the guy hot? There was a whole, you know, up until this moment, really, I just thought he was sort of like a, you know, maybe a soldier, criminal, you know, former soldier who's now gone bad as a criminal. There is like a whole, like, magical component to him now.
Yes.
That you know, that we really, all this time, you know, you just think of him as a beggar or a thief or, you know, whatever. You just sort of saw him. I mean, the whole popping from the top of the mountain down to the hill, the face changing, the magic coin. There's something more going on with this dude. He's like a genie. You know?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, he is.
Yes. So,
he
know,
gave her three
gifts. Wishes.
Yeah.
There you go. Three wishes. Rub this coin when you want me to show up again. You know, it's all of that.
Oh,
he's like
yeah.
a genie. So that's really interesting. And where the heck is he going? You know, that's the next question.
Yeah, why is he off so fast? Yeah.
Where is he going? So I found him interesting. I mean, I knew something was up with the guys because all good storytellers, you know, have that quest in the forest where you can stop to save the little, you know, frog in the jar on the side of the road, or you can go on with your merry quest. And the losers and the selfish folks step right over the frog that's, you know, trapped under the rock or whatever, and they go on with it. But it's the heroes that always go, I know I'm in a rush, but I'm going to stop and let the frog loose and see what happens. And then the frog is like super, you know, well, same thing. Arya's trying to get away. The fire's going on. Hey, I know we're criminals with these. We're locked in here. Will you hook us up, little girl? Fine. You know, she's that is just the classic, you know, the classic turn in all the epic tales. So for him to be that bad, you know, I thought it was just cool enough. He was killing off the dudes that she needed. But, you know, for him to have a little something extra going on. Yeah. Yeah. This is not the last we've seen of him. Whatever face is going to have next.
He needs to have a hotter face.
Oh,
like,
so
why would you be a genie and then look like that?
So wrong.
Have some self-pride.
Yeah, but... For all the reasons Carl said, he's one of my favorite characters in the entire series or in the books. And one thing I liked was when he was, you know, explaining things to Arya, and he talked about how he was from Braavos. And I told you, Kat, when we talked last time,
yeah.
how because he has a little bit of a weird Yoda speak, a weird different kind of cadence in the way his character speaks. And I told you how Cyril Ferdell from the first season, Arya's dance master, he also spoke the same way because his character is also from Braavos.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how they mentioned him. They even mentioned Sirio
yeah.
because, you know, Arya's like, hey, you're like, yeah, my dance master's from Braavos. I like that they bring that up because this is no spoiler or anything. It's not. It's just speculation, but not just on my part. But one of the big things, like on message boards or whatever for Game of Thrones.
You read those?
Well... Maybe.
Will you let him go on?
No,
yes.
I'm
fine.
So, okay, I'm not.
But one of the big
that.
Fan speculations, not just for the TV series, but just even for just the books, is a lot of people like to think that what's his name? What's his name?
Jaqen.
Yeah, him. Jaqen H'ghar or whatever. A lot of people, a lot of fans like to think that he's Cyril Ferdell. Like, it's the same person.
Yes, I like that.
And people like to speculate that he somehow changed. Because I was talking about if you don't ever see anyone die earlier, a moment ago.
We didn't see him die.
Exactly. In both the books and in the TV series, they do it the same way. Where you kind of, like, lose sight and you don't really know. And again, I know the books are already up to book 5. And, again, this is not a spoiler because... This has not even yet been revealed, you know, in the books yet, if there's any credence to what I'm saying or not.
Mm.
But it's just, I'm just saying, it's something that fans get excited about and they, like, wonder. And
I'd
you know,
like
where,
it.
Like, I know, I like it too, because it's one of the things that is just incredibly interesting.
Because,
yeah. God, it has to go somewhere, you know. Because if this is just, now to be fair, sometimes he does that, the author... why can't I think of his name?
George R. R. Martin?
Yes, thank you. Of course, we all know that. To be fair, he does do red herring sometimes. Sometimes where he builds something up, you know, to misdirect you. Like, because you think, oh, this is... And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen here, but I'm just... You know, he's...
Be prepared, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so who knows, you know? And I still don't know, but it's... But this is just one of my favorite little parts of, like, the big tapestry.
Well, maybe, like, you know, if he does... If it turns out it's not him, maybe somebody will write some good fanfic.
And I love the face change, and I love how Arya's like, oh, I want you to teach me. And he's like, I can teach you, but you gotta come with me. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, but I can't. It's like, oh.
Maybe she will eventually. They'll meet back up or something.
I don't know. I don't know.
Strong is she?
Maybe
ways
he
of the
would
force.
Have changed again, so we won't have to look at that weird dude.
Stop.
Or if he only if he's like badass and like if he takes his cloak off and he has like beef man chest with like big guns or whatever, then I'd be like, okay, I won't look at your face. I'll just look at your glistening.
I've spoken a certain too much. Pattern about of what you're interested in here.
I'm sorry. It's late. I've seen Thor too many times.
I was about to say all that's missing is a Thor reference. And there it is. I couldn't.
I'm
get
so
out of
predictable. Oh, okay, so let's go ahead and deal with the elephant in the room.
I'm surprised.
Yeah,
saved it this long.
Yeah, because. Wow. So, well, there's one more thing, one more detour before we get to the big finale. So Jon Snow has to kill his boy.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm not sure like how that proves that he's with the first people or whatever you want to call these. What do you call them?
Wildlings.
Wildlings, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not really sure how him killing his friend makes him okay in their book.
Well, supposedly it's a combo of that, and also how he sort of spared what's-her-name's life.
Oh. Mm.
She's trying to vouch for him.
Okay.
What are you going to say, Carl?
I was going to agree. It could have also been he was just really annoying, and they wanted to see if they'd get rid of him. we didn't like him, and you took care of him.
Oh,
you're one
fight,
of us now.
Yeah, let him fight. Yeah, they was just like that. So yeah, I don't know. It just felt contrived, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense. Unless, like, are they gonna trust him now? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me.
I think it's a combination of killed off somebody they thought was annoying, saved the life of the princess girl. We cool.
Oh, she's a princess now?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying that because in storytelling arcs, that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah,
where all of a sudden you turn around and it's just like, you saved my daughter. Oh, that's your dad. Oh, I didn't mention that. Bam. Then you know what's going on.
Oh, did you watch Snow White? Okay. Anyway. Yeah, so, you know, there's that. And then now the elephant in the room. So, I know, Eric, I've been complaining to you and Hanako, which y'all have heard that episode by now, about the lack of White Walkers, right? I've been complaining about the whole season. There's no hints. There's no encounters. There's brief mentions, but we don't really get anything. So at the very end of this episode, we get a whole crap load of them. I mean... And I was disappointed. Let me tell you why. Not only I felt insulted, but it looked like a combination of Pirates of the Caribbean when that, you know, the Davy Jones movie.
I was going to say Treebeard, but I'll go with that. Yes.
Like a combination of those, the end of Walking Dead, all in a winter wonderland.
I told you, and they had a stagger. I was feeling Thriller. It was like Thriller coming back up there.
And I was really disappointed when I saw him because I was like, how in the crap does Game of Thrones end like the season of Walking Dead? How are these two shows connecting like that? Why did this happen? I've just seen this on a different television show where they've done it better. And then you kind of give us this... cartoonish zombie snowman from, I don't know, man.
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand.
Grizzly Grooms or something Dome.
I don't know what I was expecting from those guys, but that wasn't it. I'm with you on that. You know, the first of all, we got a feeling from the early, from the pilot, that they were faster and more animal-like. You know, more. There was a certain, you know, like base grace to them. They were like werewolves or something. To see them just marching through the snow, you know, together in a staggering formation, it didn't feel right.
With a leader with blonde hair or whatever, hair blowing in the wind on a zombie horse saying charge, and like
he didn't seem very scary. I gotta tell you that guy did not seem very scary.
I didn't like that. I never wanted to see that. I mean, it seemed like it should have been cool, right? It seemed like it should have been. I should have been like, hit me right in my face, be like, oh my God, that was epic. You know, I feel like that's what I should have said.
Yeah.
But I just felt empty inside, man.
Hollow, like the neck of the horse that he was riding on. Yeah. Well, we got to give them time to see what they do with them. They were really magical looking. You know, they were like fairy zombies. They weren't scary. They weren't scary, but
So you think these are zombies with a soul?
I didn't go that far. I'm just saying it was cool looking. They were cool looking, but they weren't.
They were not cool looking. I'm telling you, they look like the Davy Jones trunk dudes, the zombies from the Pirates movie. And I don't want that, man.
I want to see him fight. I want to see
him. But like you said, the beginning White Walkers, they were like weird.
They were fast and dangerous, and you know
they were mysterious. Fast and dangerous, and they looked like those horror little girls from the Japanese movies. They didn't really look like, you know, that.
Well, see, I'm not so down on this as you are.
You know what? You like Skyline, so I'm not sure.
No.
Throwing that at
Skyline.
No. That he admits that in public. We can't keep throwing that at him. Everyone makes a mistake. So.
You're too forgiving. You don't forgive me as much as you.
No, this doesn't have anything to do with Skyline or anything like that. It's just that, because actually, in the TV show series, they've overplayed them. I'm not saying that's bad, but I mean
they haven't even showed them. Oh,
I mean, you think that you've been teased in the series? You're more teased in the books at this point. It's worse, I guess, is a way to say. Because in the books, the first thing you were talking about, the pilot or whatever, when you see those initial White Walkers, as they're called in the series, they're called the Others in the books, but they thought people would get confused, so they call them the White Walkers on TV.
Why would we be confused?
Because, like, the Others, like, does that mean the Wildlings, or who's, you know, the Others? It's like, I don't know, too vague or something. But anyway, the White Walkers that you saw in the pilot, they don't even show that in the book. I mean, something happens in the woods and in the cold, but you don't see it, you know. But they show you right up front in the pilot. The only White Walker you do see.
Into this show, I would not have watched it if it wasn't for that first 15.
And I think that's why they show it too.
I was really excited about seeing what was happening there. So
now we do get to see the White Walker, of course, who attacks the wall in season one. That is in the book, so that's the one time
that I thought that was good. Yeah,
that was the one time that I saw a White Walker in the book, and that played out pretty exactly, you know, right off the page. That thing, you know, was kicking butt and everything, just like it was in the book. But what we just saw, the scene we were just talking about. Spoiler, but that's like if you're reading, that's the beginning of book three. It's not even in the second book.
Wait, that scene is actually written. That wasn't for TV.
No. Those events take place at the beginning of book three. That's the whole stuff with Samwise. I know Sam. I know, but Samwise Gamgee, all that stuff that happened with them, that's like the beginning of book three. But where we see the White Walkers like come into view and the horse and the guy on the horse and all that, that is not depicted in the book. Like it's left open for your imagination, like what's out there and what's going on.
I'm gonna tell you what they imagine.
And so I haven't even seen that, you know, quote unquote, seen it in the book, like this guy on the horse and all this stuff. But what I'm thinking, you know, seeing it now on the show and like, I don't really know. It's still a mystery to me because I'm wondering myself, are there two different kinds of White Walkers or is it like a multitude? Because I know in the book there's the people who get reanimated like zombies, which is like the guy in season one. Mm-hmm. And it apparently looked like, you know, a lot of those guys are like reanimated wildlings or something. I know that there's those guys. But it seems like there's also maybe those kick-ass ones, like in the pilot, and maybe the guy on the horse, who obviously seems different.
Yeah, because they had a ghost element to them.
Right, and so I'm wondering, are there like the dumb drone zombie ones, but then like the higher thinking, you know...
I would buy that. I would absolutely buy that because that's why I said they didn't feel the same. No, I'm just saying in terms of description of what I felt... When the first White Walkers had sort of a monster kind of a werewolf speed agility a base kind of feel. This dude's riding a horse. He's just chilling. He's got a staff. He's like, everyone this way. I think did he have like a crown? You know,
he chose not to kill a chubby kid.
Yeah, he didn't feel like the same kind of energy that we've been, you know, expecting what they would be like. So I'll buy that those are like, you know, those are sort of like the. They're the monks out of them, you know, like the spiritual group out of the White Walkers, and then you got the monster ones, because I don't know, even you know, with all of them out there, did we hear or see any evidence of them?
Wait, you know what? Yeah. I'm reading Wikipedia. He said he is quickly surrounded by whites, mutilated undead warriors raised from the remains of both wildlings and men of the Night Watch, and a fearsome White Walker. They're saying there's two different things.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I was kind of thinking.
Okay, so White Walkers versus whites.
Yeah, there you go.
Because have they mentioned that?
Well, you know, so what... I don't remember that. I don't remember if they
mentioned that. Me either.
But so that would make sense. You know, if the reanimated guys were the former fallen soldiers that defended the wall, if that's them, that would make a little bit more sense.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely some of those dudes, for sure. I mean, that's what the guy was in season one who came back and, like,
But I mean, these guys are preserving some of their nobility in terms of, you know, they're continuing to fight the good fight of protecting, of defending the wall.
I'm done.
Not that they were just, you know, soldiers that came back.
I'm done.
Well, we don't know.
To be honest, I don't know, because
everything
we're saying is speculation. This is not...
Making stuff up.
Yeah. No. Y'all were just right. I just read to you there was two different types of White Walker.
In the
TV show that is a thing. There's two different times. So you there are two different types. So you guys are on the money with it. But I just don't recall them mentioning anything other but the White Walkers and not these whites. WIGHTS.
No, it was never explicitly said in the series. I don't think. But like, it's something you'd have to read into because you can tell by looking, if you rewatch the end, you can tell that there's, you know, different sorts of people by their attire. You can tell that there's guys who are dressed like men, like knights or whatever, and there's guys who are dressed like peasants, and it's very easy to tell the difference.
I didn't catch that. I just saw all of the zombies and was disappointed.
And you see, this is the kind of stuff you have to read into. Like, and I actually I like this that they didn't they're not holding the audience by the hand on this, because you have to look back to what we saw in season one. Again, we saw the kick-ass White Walkers, but remember we saw like the dismembered wildlings. But then remember we saw like the little girl who was like with blue eyes. So, and she's obviously a wildling. And again, there was the the Man of the Night Watch, who, you know, came back to life once he was brought back to the walls. And so we knew that could happen. So the clues were there, but, you know, but there has been no big reveal. And that's,
so, I mean, what are they going to try to form an alliance? Is it going to be a war? Are we going to have, like,
I don't know. Well, I don't know. But obviously, that's what's coming.
I'm done. Something's coming. I'm done.
Maybe they'll be like, you know, the Ghost Warriors trapped in the mountain from the Lord of the Rings crew, where they're fighting just to get their souls or so they can pass on or something.
I dislike you for bringing that up. And so next year I'll be so pumped up that this come back on that I'll forget that I said I was done.
There was another little bit of disappointment, well, for me or anyone who's read it, because aside from seeing the dead army or whatever, we also...
Army of the Dead.
Sure.
Awesome. Army of Darkness.
We also see Jon Snow... I guess he's finally been brought to, like, the wildling encampment or whatever.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know if they're, how much more they're going to show that in season 3 or whatever. Obviously that's yet to come. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't think this is a spoiler because, they're either not going to do it or I don't know, but it happens in the second book. The first time Jon Snow sees the encampment, not only do you see that all the wildlings are there in mass, but that they've also, like, have other people added to their forces, like their big powwow, like to comprise their big army. And so,
do you mean other people?
Like non-humans.
Oh.
And so forgive me if this is revealed in season 3, or if, I don't know, if you don't want to hear this, skip ahead a minute or something, because this is in the second book.
5 minutes is going to take a while.
No, but oh no, it's nothing. It's just among the wildlings, you see that there are giants, and the giants ride like massive like mastodons, mastodons, big woolly mammoths.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the giants are, like, right, and you see those guys, and they're, like, part of the big group. And by giants, I mean, I don't know
like
if they're,
Harry
like...
Harry Potter? Like...
Yeah, but, something like that. Like, maybe they're like, maybe 20 feet tall. Not Godzilla big, but, you know, like, maybe 20 feet tall or so, mm-hmm. Something like that. So, I don't know, I was hoping, since they're showing that, you know, the valley that... Like, oh, they're going to be giants? No.
They're not going to show that. That's too expensive.
But, I mean, are there going to be giants? Like, I don't know. Like,
there might be some big dudes. They might invite that guy from Harry Potter. What's his name? The big guy?
Oh, yeah. Hagrid.
Hagrid, yeah.
But,
or some basketball players.
So either they're going to show us some giants next season, or they're just going to completely cut that out for a bunch.
It's going to get cut.
Oh, boo. Because...
It's gonna get cut.
It was cool. Like,
it sounds fascinating. It sounds like something I want to watch. Now, I was kind of disappointed when we looked down at the encampment. I thought it was just like a rock formation, tiny rocks or something. I was like, oh, that's supposed to be their little village or whatever. Like, what? I was just having a perspective problem. But they should have showed like a little bit closer with like people.
Yeah. Well, I completely agree. Like, I wanted them to, but yeah. So I don't know.
So, I mean, it's not as bad as I was making it out. There were some very enjoyable things about this season. The actors were definitely spot on. They were doing their job. They were always compelling to watch. It was just something about the way the story was weaved together that just left me wanting more, but unsatisfied in a way.
Well, let's not forget the joy that is Joffrey. You know, he's just like, Sansa who? Just
We totally skipped over that. Oh my god.
The girl to the curb.
Yeah,
he
that chick came over
on.
From she got her head chopped off on the Tudors and then came trying to mix it up on Game of Thrones. And so I like that chick because she's always up to no good. And so she just walked up in there. I need a husband and I like you a lot. And can I be your queen? He was like, yeah. Sir, you are betrothed to another.
He's like, oh, you know, it's all right. You know, the Bible says it's, it's cool. You don't have to do it.
The mom was like, we don't want this trial and we don't want to deal with this. We want the new queen. I was just, Cersei was.
I think she was actually looking out for Sansa there. I think that's what it was. Because she's like, look, Sansa ain't ready. She ain't ready for all this
you
noise.
You think so?
Sansa, no. I think she was just being straightforward and saying it how it is. You know, basically, we don't want... We're not going to get anything out of you marrying the Stark. Like, definitely get it on with the Tully.
So well, then what do you make of smarmy snake guy coming up to her afterward? You think he's going to ask her for her hand in marriage, like, so he can bring some stature to his home?
I gotta play the fifth on that.
Oh, okay, good.
To that,
yeah.
All right. Well, what do you think, Carl? Since you haven't read the book,
yeah, because he's kind of smarmy. He's like, oh, fallen queen, I'm on this. That's totally.
Well, not only that, but as he says, he was always in love with her mom since they were kids. He tried to get her earlier in the series too.
He sure did.
She was like, "No, screw you." And so, whoa,
well, can't have the mama. Oh, that's freaky right there.
That's nasty. Because then, like, if it's been going on for this long, she probably kind of looks like the mom when the mom was younger. And
then also when I was watching season two myself, I was like telling my friend who I'm watching it with, like, "Wow, like the actress who plays Sansa, she looks so much older to me this season than last season." Like, I was like, wow, she's like a woman. She doesn't look like a kid anymore at all. And I was like, how old is this actress? Oh, God, she's still only 16, like, right now.
Wow.
She was 15 last year and 16 now. I was like, really? She does not look 16 to me.
No.
At all. Wow.
Well, you know, they put all that makeup and shit on them, so. But, yeah. That's that... Yeah, well, at least she won't have to. If I kind of would be rooting for her to go with that guy, even though he is kind of smarmy, because then she wouldn't have to deal with what's the king's name?
Joffrey.
Yeah,
but don't forget, you know, the hound is still free. Hound could just show up any moment.
That hound ain't gonna be showing his face around after he hid from the fire like a little biatch and then ran off. He's not gonna show. He might be like around hanging out in tunnels or whatever, but he can't show his face because he abandoned them in the middle of a war. He's not gonna be forgiven for that.
He's a complicated man, and no one understands him but his woman.
Who's this woman?
Oh, come on. Sansa, baby. Sansa.
Sansa is not his woman.
Sansa.
And if...
I'm just talking about the Hound.
I don't know what's going to happen with the Hound in the future, but he's definitely like a complicated man. He definitely has other business too, though, besides Sansa, because... He's still. You guys know who his brother is, right? In the series.
Mm-mm. Forgot.
Clegane.
Who's that?
Well, they both have the same name, Clegane. But the really big dude who kept reporting to Harrenhal. That Tywin was kept like, hey, you know, I need you to go out and do whatever and get so and so whatever.
Did he get killed?
No.
He's not the one that got the arrow in the back.
No. He's out riding around with his guys. He's called the Bear. That's his nickname.
Oh, dear. What does that mean?
He's a really big dude. And he was
All right, Gat.
He was in season one also, the Bear, and that's him again in season two. And that's the Hound's big brother. And he's the one who gave the Hound that scar on his face. And he hates his brother big time, and so that's still some unfinished business out there. Mm. So, don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but he's got stuff to do, just like everybody else does.
I think perhaps on a second viewing of the whole entire season, since I know what's going to happen, I can enjoy it more instead of dealing with my expectations and what I want. So that's, you know, kind of how I do it with a second viewing. And I'll probably enjoy it more, and I'll find more things to like. It's good So what you're hearing here today from me personally is nitpicks, and you know that's different from not enjoying the show. So I enjoyed the show, but there were some different things that I wanted to see. Carl?
I'm with you. I agree. Game of Thrones is still beautiful. I felt like they spent a lot of time on the farm this season. You know, indeed. A lot of even the zombies came in the last season. Spent a lot of time on the farm, but the characters that I really liked did have some interesting moments. You know, I liked Tyrion. I liked to see whatever's going on with him. Daenerys was really, mm-hmm. you know, was really growing. I mean, in terms of who she's going to be, that was kind of fun. I like Arya. Yeah, I can't wait to see how things go with her and her genie buddy. So it was a good season. I wish there was a little bit more action, that there was a little bit more of the metaphysical stuff going on. Yeah. But hey, you know it's probably one of the better things on cable now. So indeed. Hey, it's good, mm-hmm. good.
Eric?
Yeah, a lot of what you said, Kat. I mean, like I know I. It's all nitpicks, like you say. All these negative things I've said on all these SFPLs, it's just pointing out, you know, just those things to point out, to talk about. But I really like the series as a whole. Absolutely, it's just about my favorite thing on TV at the moment, like you said. And I also think I'm not with the mainstream where I liked season one as a whole a lot better than season two. To me, season one was more balanced throughout the entire season. And I really do feel the vacuum of not having Eddard and all that.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, such a big part of that season one, obviously. And I feel like there's not really anyone to take his shoes, fill his shoes in season two as far as, like, character, you know.
Tyrion seems, like, comes close.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Tyrion's great, but yeah, it just feels like something else is missing.
So is that the prevailing, you know, vote that the second season is better than the first? Is that what folks are saying?
That's what it seems to me. I think that's what the mainstream feeling is season mm-hmm. two as a whole is better. But like, I think a lot of that is also the freshness of it. I think
mm-hmm.
because I thought it was brilliant in season one, as we all know, how it all leads up to Eddard's decapitation.
It was just tight.
It was, to me, that was really, really compelling and very, like that was me being on the edge of my seat, where, like, when was I on the edge of my seat in season two? And I feel other people were, but not me, though.
I'm going to go with you guys. I think the first season, to me, felt a little more consistent. It had me questioning every episode. Like, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen? Oh, what's happening? I didn't feel, you know, the slowness that I did in a couple of the episodes for this season. So, I'm sorry. I'm still voting season one right now.
But that being said, and I haven't finished all of the third act, or the third book. But by all accounts, for people who have read all the five books out thus far, to a head, everyone agrees the third is, like, it's the one. Like, it's the kick-ass, you know, awesome volume out of the series. And
I want to be out, but you keep pulling me back in.
But I have a feeling, like, I think season three is going to definitely have the potential to be better than the first two. Well, I don't think it could possibly be worse than the second. But I think things are really going to get shaken up, and I think we're going to have I really look forward to it. Because I think it's really going to hit like a high note. I hope. You know, I thought things like that about Heroes and other things in the past.
Oh my God.
And even Fringe to a degree. You know, I remember thinking, we're just getting going here. But hopefully big. Now, if they break up book three into two seasons, like they have said at times, maybe speculated.
Hmm.
Well, then they'll probably put all the cool stuff in season four if that ends up being the case. I don't know. We'll see, though. There's a lot of stuff's going to happen, and things are relationships and between the characters and everything and allegiances. Things are going to get shaken up really, really big. So I look forward to it.
Well, I guess I'll give season three another chance. But
you know you're not walking away. Yeah. Come on. Don't even fake like you.
Really, I was so let down by that because it just felt.
I was not let. Again, I didn't even see that in the book, so it's new to me.
I don't know. I was just like, I just saw this in Walking Dead. What are you doing? What are we doing? Oh, I didn't want it. But
look, you were cheering for the zombies in the river. I told you, we got zombies everywhere now.
Why you gotta bring stuff up, Carl? Why you gotta embarrass me in front of company?
Yo, that was a fuck.
I'm reading Walking Dead now from the beginning, so I'm
oh God.
Slowly, well, someday I'll get that far.
You're shuffling through it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. So any last thoughts? Were those our last thoughts? That's pretty much.
I'm looking forward to season 3.
It was good. It was good overall.
Yeah.
I can't really say there's many shows better than it, you know.
Yeah. Can't say that. Yeah. Guys, go to our website. That's scifipartyline.com. Leave us comments, of course. You always are welcome to leave us a tweet at scifipartyline. You can send us a message on facebook.com/scifipartyline. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
Game of fucking Game of fucking Thrones. Game of fucking Game of fucking Thrones. Game of fucking Game of fucking Thrones.
I can't believe we I didn't think we were gonna go that deep into it, but yeah.
Did we go deep?
I think we did. I think we covered a lot of ground.
Oh, we covered a lot of ground, but it's what I expected.
Yeah, no, I've kind of got interested after a while. Like, I wanted to talk about every little detail, so.
Yeah, oh God. Like, I hope you do, as I said already, I hope you do visit the audiobooks or whatever.
Man, that last scene kind of turned me off. I was like, I'm not wasting my time with this crap.
Again, if you're the kind of person like me, God, I don't know that you are, but the world building that goes on in the books is right up there with Lord of the Rings, which could be a good or a bad thing, you know, given on a person's taste.
Did you read Hunger Games, all of it?
Yeah, I did.
So, because Hunger Games is starting to depress me, and I'm getting, like, tired of it.
What do you mean? Like, I mean, where are you at in the story?
I'm, like, almost at book 3, and I'm sick of hearing What's-Her-Face whining.
I thought you already finished book 2.
I mean, that's what I said. I'm in book 3.
Oh, I thought you said you're almost at book 3.
I mean, like, I'm almost finished with book 3.
Oh, okay.
So, if it's anything like that, because she's not building a world, she's just whining.
Well, man, see... No, but see, but Lord of the Rings is, I mean, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones is so much larger than,
okay, well, Hunger that's Games. All I really need to know because that,
because Hunger Games is more like, you know, you're following the heroine, well, for the most part, and her story, just like Harry Potter, you're following Harry Potter. Game of Thrones, you know, you have, like, 8 lead characters, and each one has their own separate tale and,
Yeah. I just needed to be reminded because I'm like
so much bigger.
I was disappointed in Harry Potter towards the end, and then this Hunger Games. I'm just ready for it to be over with because it's depressing me, and I'm just not in the mood. I want to be.
Again, I'm barely on book 3. I mean, jeez, like each book is 1,000 pages and change.
Yeah, I'm audio.
There's gonna be 7.
Are you gonna read it, Carl?
No. I am not going to read that. No.
It's definitely not easy. Although the first book was a page turner for me, despite how big it was. But you do get tired which is why I haven't finished book three yet, because I was like, whew, like, yeah, I gotta take a break. Like, I seriously need, like, some other things, like, in my life besides Game of Thrones. But it's, like, because I went back, because rereading some of book three, because it's been so long since I picked it up. It's just, it's deep. Mm-mm. It's so deep.
Yeah.
And again, if you're the kind of person who likes to hear all the backstory and all the history and know, like, Daenerys's, like, last eight generations of, you know, of her family.
You know, I might would read it if they were in space. And there were spaceships. Oh, I don't know. I just want
Well, for some reason, for me, actually, that wouldn't necessarily work for me. I actually like that it's... I mean, it's like Middle Earth. It's obviously not real. But it is rooted in real Earth history type stuff. And for me, that makes it, you know, it's a very loose allegory to our world, you know, 500 years ago, our real world. It's a very loose allegory. Whereas if it was space, you know, it would lose that connection, and, you know.
Then why? Just be in space.
No, because it depends.
It would be above and beyond.
No, it depends. It could be good or might not be, but I'm saying for Game of Thrones, it works because, as I told you before offline, like, you see connections, like, these people are, like, Arabs, right? Or, like, from Arabia or something.
Yeah, but you can see that in Star Wars. You can see that in Star Wars.
Yes, but Star Wars mythology is much more fast and loose. I mean, it's not, because things in Westeros are kind of in the same geographic location where they would be in the real Earth. You know, like, there is, like, an African continent out there on the map. There is, like,
have an African space moon.
There is, like, because I think Zaros, or whatever his name is, he comes from, like, the Game of Thrones equivalent of, like, the Nile is, like, where he comes from, for instance. But there's this whole, like, Braavos is supposedly, like, a their equivalent of, like, Spain, and as I said before, that Karth is, like, their version of Constantinople. So you see those kind of, like, loose connections to real history, which for me, since I am a loose history buff, just, like, adds to the.
Maybe, but I do know I gotta go to sleep. I'm tired. I gotta go to work in the morning.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I just can't believe.
What? Just like with this show and every other show, it boggles the mind that it's not going to be for, like, another year till you get back.
Yeah, I need a break, so I'm good.
It just seems like, wow, it's so long.
Yeah, I'm good.
With all the other shows, like,
I'm
really
good. They stayed on the farm tonight.
We can fill it in with Falling Skies.
Eric's been watching that.
Well, just started.
I'm proud of him.
I just watched, and I was like, screw it, I don't need to watch episode one. They just showed episodes 7 and 8 the other night.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I've ever seen it, and I just watched 7 and 8.
Yeah, it might be a good start.
And I was like, that was interesting. I had no idea that that's what the show was like or what it looked like. But I do wonder about, what's that new show, that J.J. Abrams show for next year?
Oh, the new...
Yeah, the one that looks like a cross between Hunger Games and Mad Max.
Something like that. Yeah, but the one where, like...
Jericho.
Where they lose all the electricity or something.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called. Like, because that one actually got... When I saw the little teaser for that, that actually got my attention. And new show has really got my attention.
Yeah, but it looks like every other NBC thing that's going to get canceled in a year that they've been doing in the past.
This looked like it had something special to me.
Yeah, so did Jericho. So did The Event. And so did...
V, but not quite V. It's...
I don't know, but see, I wasn't as optimistic about those other ones that you named.
Yeah, but I've seen them all.
The reason you're saying that is because JJ is involved. That's the only reason.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
Yeah, well, he's had other failed shows that he's been loosely attached to, but...
Is he loosely attached to this
one? I don't know, because some shows he's much more vested than others, and so I'm not exactly sure, you know. So
right.
I don't know.
Right now, the premise is not pulling me in. I gotta tell you, it's got. I agree with you, Kat. It's got the same feel like all of the other shows that were trying to be, you know, something new. It feels like the event. It feels like, you know, that kind of opening to it. And I don't mean necessarily with the storyline. I just mean it's like the lighting, the composition, the cutting. It just feels like that.
Well, all those shows have that weird something, because even...
It's Made in Vancouver.
What was that one called? I want to call it Dinotopia. What was it called? What was it? Terra Nova?
Yeah, there you go.
All those
Dinotopia.
Shows.
Dinotopia?
I knew exactly what he meant when he said Dinotopia. Like, oh, yeah.
Terra Nova and The Event and all those other ones and Flash Forward, they all have that weird same kind of feel. I know what you're talking about. But I don't know, something about this one felt a little bit different for whatever reason.
You know
reason.
What? I hope so, because I'm going to be watching it anyway, and I hope for your sake, because right now you are the champion of this show.
We'll blame you. We're going to blame you. If it sucks, it's on you, man. So congratulations. You're the champion.
No, what, but what's on the same token as J.J. Abrams, what's with Steven Spielberg being on everything?
Yeah, Spielberg was on every TV show and movie for a year and a half. It was just like he was everything.
Well, Blew My Mind Cat is obviously he was on attached to Terra Nova,
which Spielberg I like.
Cowboys and Aliens, Terra Nova. He was on
really,
two
he was
other
Cowboys
shows.
And Aliens?
Yeah. It was Spielberg and
Favreau.
Yeah, Favreau.
And then Falling Skies, of course.
Yep.
And then the one that blew me or threw me, because I told you how I had this weird like. Somehow I discovered that show Smash, which is obviously not a genre show, but like a drama musical show. And then I just watched the whole series like in 2 days on Hulu. And when I was watching one of the later episodes, I was actually just looking at the credits and it said like produced by Steven Spielberg. And I was like, what the hell? He's doing this show too.
Well, does it have any space or anything? Or
no, it has nothing to do with anything genre related.
Traveling in time? No. Is it a period piece?
Is there a horse at any point in the story?
I don't know. Like, what?
No, I don't know. There's not. It's just. No.
I don't understand.
It's a melodrama about
I don't get
behind
it.
The scenes of a musical. But it's just like, wow, his name's on this too. He's.
That's weird. Maybe he's trying to branch out, be different.
Yeah.
Is it at least good?
Well, I told you, it's like it's a more mature version of Glee. Like, you know.
You should have seen my face when you said that. That's
Hey, I don't know. I like musicals, all right? Like
I do too. Nothing wrong with a musical. Okay.
Saying, and it's if you like drama, you know, I watch drama shows, you know, I don't just watch sci-fi.
Well, Eric is responsible for me watching Glee.
Yeah, but as I told Kat too, like I can't finish Glee season 3 because it totally is a mirror image of Heroes for me. Like season 1 I thought was so good. Season 2 was a little iffy.
Didn't they go to a carnival this season? They did. Oh my God.
What?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Remember
there was
when
a carnival
they...
on Glee?
Well, and I guess
it was a theme park.
I guess Lips is the token hobo in Glee.
Who?
Pouty Mouth?
There's a kid with a big mouth.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I don't remember any girl. Like, you're talking about the guy, though.
Yeah, he's a guy. The stripper dude.
Yeah. But
oh my God, are y'all hyped up for Magic Mike? Woo!
But Glee has become unwatchable. It's just I can't hang, and like I don't know. Smash is they sing too, but it's more realistic. They incorporate the songs into like in a more realistic way. It's not just like a weird song timeout or anything. They actually like they're at a karaoke bar, or you know, it's more quote unquote realistic. I don't know. I liked it. I was like, it's good. It's all right.
I had enough of the singing.
Well, see, I guess you're going to watch True Blood, right?
Yeah. Because they got my man.
See, I'm glad I don't have to deal with that. Like, you know, one of these days I'll watch True Blood when the entire series is streaming on Netflix. I'm not watching it.
I'm ready for the ride. I'm ready for it. You watching it, Carl?
Not really. Not it didn't entirely pull me in. I'm not saying no. It's just I just other stuff came up. That's all.
I was doing the reviews with Hanako anyway, so I'm not gonna force you on that one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I will be calling you guys later this week for Prometheus.
Woo! Got my tickets for midnight.
Oh, really?
Already, yes. Man. Nice.
You do too, Carl?
Well, I'm probably doing Friday. I don't think if I don't think
well,
I'm
damn
Friday
all my Saturday. UK friends on Twitter because you know it came out there last Friday. And
yeah, now see that's what okay. Because what happened is I got a bunch of friends coming. Some friends are here from Germany, and we were trying to buy tickets last Thursday night. When everybody, if you Googled on it, it said opens June 1st. So I'm sitting here going, I can't find the tickets. And people are like, oh, you're supposed to be buying the tickets. It says June 1st. I can't figure out what's going on. It must have opened in Europe last week.
Yep.
And it's opening here this weekend. Yep. Because, yeah, my buddy who's from Germany was like, well, I want to see Prometheus. Let's get the tickets. And I couldn't find
it. Yeah, and Avengers, of course, the same thing happened. And the reason is, or at least I figured it out. I didn't read this, but I'm pretty sure this is why. With Avengers and with Prometheus, it's like already a 3-day weekend in Europe for both of them.
Right.
So it was, you know, more advantageous for both of those movies to start on the weekends they did since 3-day weekend, but not a 3-day weekend here in the States.
Man, so, Avengers is not playing with the box office. I mean, it is just doing ridiculous now.
I've already seen it twice.
I got people calling me up that don't even watch movies going, have you seen this film called Avengers? Yes, I've heard of Avengers. Pretty good. Okay, great.
I met this girl 2 nights ago. Very interesting, likable girl. But anyway, and she said, you know, I've seen Avengers twice. I was like, cool. And she's like, I never saw any of the lead-in films.
Right. Exactly. Same thing. I haven't seen any. I mean, I know there was a Hulk movie, right?
Man,
I was like, oh man,
Hulk movie.
Yeah.
See it if you dare.
Yeah. So yeah, it's doing great.
But see my UK friends taking a non-scientific sampling, a lot of them were just like, it was like, oh, it's all right.
Okay.
Maybe one or two were like, oh, it was awesome, but the general thing was like, oh, it was okay. Now in no way does that somehow represent what I'm gonna feel because I'm very contrarian all the time with them.
Indeed, you are.
I always vouch for Michael Bay when nobody else I know on Twitter does.
The master of explosions, no doubt.
Maybe I should lower my expectations for Prometheus.
Same thing with Battleship. My friends on Twitter are like crucifying that movie.
I don't know why.
I liked it.
At the same time, like, but why are you judging it like we're trying to like nominate it for the Oscars? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it was just a silly little film.
I don't understand why. Like everything, it's like, oh, like we have to compare Battleship to like The Dark Knight. Like, but why?
That's
unnecessary. That's like, why can't those movies just be those movies and these movies be these movies? Like,
that's right. There are that was an actual popcorn flick. You know, some people call popcorn flicks crappy films. No, that was actually a popcorn flick. At least things happened that were interesting and kind of fun.
Yeah, so my friends crucified it, and I was like, oh.
I mean, I don't know what they were expecting. I mean, like, yeah, fine, it's not Citizen Kane, but it's just a little, you know, crappy little movie, so.
Now, of course, I have friends who do that with horror movies, like stuff that I'm like, I can't even watch that. That's complete crap, like Apollo 18 or the Chernobyl one. Yeah. And they give those
by
passes.
By the way, that was the third film. Remember when I said that Transformers had like 3 films all jammed in? it was Apollo 14. It was crap. What was the other one? It was I said it in the show. Apollo 13, and the new one is Chernobyl Diaries is thrown in there.
I did.
So
yeah, it is.
I'm like, man, look,
or something.
Well, one thing I wanted to bring up about Transformers, because I saw the movies once and I had never seen it again until like 2 weeks ago. I finally got the Blu-ray, popped it in, so I had not seen it in all this time, and it was way better. I thought it was so much cooler now.
Yeah.
Whatever. But the thing I thought it was interesting was, like, you know how everyone crucified, like, Avatar because it was Dance with Wolves and Pocahontas and, you know, this has all been done. Well, watching Transformers 3 again, isn't it remarkable, like, the similarities, like, in the broad story, like, with Avengers?
Well, seeing as every story is in Transformers 3, this doesn't surprise me.
But I mean, but Avengers, especially since Avengers comes out, you know, after Transformers 3, the whole overarching story, it's very similar. It's very, very similar. And I thought it was interesting that
the heroes got together to beat up a big guy.
How, you know, the last third of both movies hinges on a big, you know, a portal being opened, all the baddies coming down.
Much like the event.
Yeah, and our heroes have to, like, unite to kick him out and get him off this planet.
Well, that's happened in so many movies, but yeah.
It has, but especially with two tentpole films, you know, like, one summer after the other. I'm surprised that nobody ever raises it. Well, obviously, I guess it's because people like Avengers that much, but...
I sort of see what you're saying. But the problem is Transformers 3 was nothing but the broad strokes. It was the broad strokes.
You have to see it another time because you got to see it in you.
Me? I've seen it a bunch of times. What are you talking about?
I saw it the second time and I liked it a little bit more. But you say you saw it like three times and you just still hated it the whole three.
I'm pretty close to hating it, I gotta admit. But what I mean is, it's just so generic, though. That's why it feels like so many different other films. That's why years from now, we're gonna be like, didn't that happen in Transformers 3? Just everything happened in Transformers 3. And I felt absolutely no connection with, you know, any of the characters in it. The thing that made Avengers so much fun was not just the explosions. It was the characters. It was, we cared about the people that were in it. The dynamics that occurred, the little stresses, you know, that sprung up. Not that it was in a city, buildings were falling down, and a portal opened in the sky. I see what you mean in that. Yes, those.
No, I totally agree. Totally agree with what you're saying.
But it's just that, you know, all of the feeling, everything that, you know, all of the moments that really makes the Avengers so much fun, not in Transformers. Totally not in Transformers. None of that was there. So, you know, that's, you know, the broad strokes. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, shoot, there are parts of Battleship in Transformers 3. I think that same building came down with that death yo-yo hit it. You know, it was the same thing. I was expecting death to see a little guy running across going, "We got to fire the missile launcher." You know, same dude. He's like, "Oh, not yet? Oh, my bad."
No, I totally agree with you because that is definitely part of Michael Bay's style is to throw everything in. You know, something's gonna stick on the wall.
Not so emotionally connected is the problem. He throws everything in there and then he goes, "Oh, we were supposed to write people in this? I forgot. People were supposed to have something to say in this film." So
I agree. Avengers definitely has the far superior screenplay, most definitely.
Of the year.
But I will say also that I think visually and technically, I think Transformers 3 is the superior looking movie, cinematography and effects wise.
I'm going to say on par, but the minor detail is the camera wasn't shaking so bad that you could actually see what was happening in the Avengers. So, you know, again, Bay and
just that Apollo 13 sequence at the beginning of Transformers, when I watched it again, I was like, just that by itself, I was like, wow, you deserve some type of award just for, you know, visually honorable mention just for that.
Beautiful, no doubt. No, but you know, no emotion behind it. It's just not connected to anything.
So, and I agree with that. And I agree. And I think Avengers is the better movie, but I still, you know.
You are just still hanging on to this Transformers, man. I don't know.
It deserves for the technical aspects. It really does.
I'll give you that technically. Yeah, great. The CG is insane. You know, no, even though I can't tell who the good guys are.
You gotta say
that
thing when Shia LaBeouf in the car and him and Bumblebee. Yeah, that was beautiful. What?
I've been waiting since the cartoon to see someone transform in the car. You know,
but it was so sexy. It was just good. Well, it was really good. You didn't get anything that strong in Avengers, maybe. Well, I don't know.
The only stuff that was that strong visually in Avengers was like Hulk stuff. That for me, because for me, you definitely the bread and butter of Avengers is the dialogue and the character building and et cetera, et cetera.
Or did you say Thor?
Yeah.
All right.
You know, this little end part is going in the show. So.
I had a feeling it might. Yeah. All right.
Well, just wanted, I just want to get off my chest because these are thoughts.
He's just hanging on. Well, because people was writing off.
Not necessarily you guys, but like on Twitter, like people constantly write off Transformers 2 and 3. And 2 is worse, of course. But
I think 2 is better than 3.
Really?
I really do.
I think
what
2 is the
in 2? What
happened? The criticisms you had of 3, I feel like those are all there in 2, but just multiplied. Because it also has everything. In Part 2 is so many different movies chopped together, and it's like the Frankenstein. And it is completely lost as far as like what's the point and what are we doing. I mean, it starts off with like, remember like the savages and the Transformers in the beginning,
but
the only thing that at least they had, we got to save Optimus holding it all together, you know. That was the quote death of Optimus Prime had a somewhat emotional resonance. And you know, and his resurrection at the somewhat, you know, had an emotional connection. You look at 3,
Optimus was tangled in a bunch of wire
for like three quarters of a battle. Ridiculous. Don't put thrusters on Optimus. He always screws them up, you know, every time. So, I don't know.
I think 3 is just a bit toned down with the story and where we're going, because 2 is all over the map. Section whatever guy being in like the butcher shop and like,
shoot, at least he was in it. I liked him. I thought his contribution was greater in 2 than in 3. I like that. I'm used to Frankenfilm.
Oh, I don't disagree with this, but how I started this was that everyone just, man, slags on 2 and 3 of Transformers constantly whenever any conversation gets brought, and I just think, no, those movies are not as bad as everyone is saying.
If you focus on the technical execution of the films, I will give you that. There is no doubt what he was able to do with CG and effects was stunning. It was really, really pretty. But it frustrates me that there's so little else to the film. That's what makes me so mad. So from a cinematography standpoint, okay, yeah, I'll say, you know, Transformers 2 and 3 are very pretty films. They're very advanced with the CG. They do push the limits, and the explosions, of course, are nice. But for there to be nothing else, that is what's so frustrating. How in the world can dialogue beat out all of the epicness of what he was trying to achieve with the special effects in Transformers 2 and 3? Yeah, that's why Avengers wins. You actually care about the people in it. The effects, maybe not quite as epic. I sure didn't think the bad guys were that great in Avengers. Those dudes, they looked like Power Rangers rejects. I mean, really, I didn't like them. But the whole context of the film, yeah, and the menu they kept going to, I kept thinking Skeletor the whole time, the little hood, you know, the skull peeping out. But I still, you know, it's, you gotta have story and characters. That's what makes the film. And I don't care what you're throwing at me in terms of special effects. You can't ignore that. Can't ignore it. So, anyway, that's it.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh well.
It's all right. I'm looking forward to Prometheus. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And apparently, I feel like I'm the only person who wants to see Spider-Man as well.
Yeah.
Everyone else I know is like, that's the way I feel. I'm not.
I don't even want to see Dark Knight, really. I might as well quit
my
podcast.
DNA.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not.
I think I'd physically die if I didn't watch Dark Knight Rises on opening.
Really?
Day.
Wow! I didn't realize it was that.
I have to see it, but I'm wary. My expectations are a little low.
I was more excited to see Snow White and the Huntsman than.
Wow! Wow!
Yeah, that's pretty sad. That's pretty sad.
No,
I know that's sad.
How dare you? What's
her name in charge?
Yes, that's just.
I told some friends the other day, for me, Dark Knight Rises, it's not because I'm a Batman freak. And because I'm not, and while I do like the first two films, it's not that. It's, for me, it's just because it's Christopher Nolan. I'm a Christopher Nolan man first before I'm a Batman guy or anything else.
Great.
And so just to put his name, everything he's ever done, I like. Simple as that. And so I'm gonna show up no matter what. Like, I don't care what the trailer shows. I don't care, because someone was telling me, oh, I don't like when they have these like, who's Bane and do we need Catwoman? Blah, blah. I don't care because it's just Christopher Nolan. Like, that's all I care about.
I'm about there with you. Seriously. He hasn't let me down yet. So, but I'm just wary. I haven't.
Yeah. And then like 4 years from now, we're going to get like the Batman reboot. So that's going to be fun.
Oh, geez.
And I love how everybody already knows it. It's not even speculation. Like,
get that starring back. Justin Bieber as Batman.
I think the world should end.
Of course, we're going to have a Superman reboot before that. So.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, seeing as we didn't have a real reboot last time, I figure we're doing.
I didn't think anything was wrong with that guy.
Stop. I'm not even going
Brandon there. Ruth was okay.
You just like him because he's a good-looking dude.
No, that, I like him because he kind of looks like Christopher Reeve, and I was really amused by that. And I think if they let him develop a little bit more, the guy's not half bad. I mean, I just think there was a lot of things wrong with it, but I think...
The actor, I'm talking about the film.
I actually like the film. I'm one of those...
Are you kidding me? All right.
I know it's derivative of the original film. I know it's
slow. It was so slow. Everything I wanted to happen didn't. And all the stuff that wasn't interesting, they spent 20 minutes on. No.
There's at least two or three parts of that film that I tear up on every time I rewatch it. I think there's more than three parts.
You know how good Kevin Spacey should have been as Lex Luthor? No!
It's true what you're saying, but I still...
issues, and maybe they should have replaced the director. I think Brandon Routh was okay.
Oh my god.
I thought Brandon Routh was cool, and I know people decry it because it's an overplayed homage, but I actually dug that. I guess I was on the same wavelength as Bryan Singer on that particular movie. I don't know why, but I was. And even though it had like the unoriginal score, it had the tons of unoriginality, but yet it totally worked for me.
It worked for me.
No, nothing happened. It was so safe.
It was
Superman is an illegitimate father. Come on.
Yeah. And then I thought, God, it felt like the beginning of a trilogy too, and I was like really looking forward. Like, what are they gonna do in the second act?
Endure the other two. It were killing me with the
first. What's gonna happen with the kid? Like, to never know what's gonna happen with that.
It's a disappointment. It'd be an empty part of my soul for the rest of my life on that.
Oh, that first movie was enough emptiness in my soul. Bring on the reboot. Bring on.
I am not upset about the reboot. I love the new guy. Whee!
Well, because I controversially, I like what's his name, the director.
Who's the new guy?
Spike Lee.
No, it's Watchmen director.
Wait a minute, the same guy that did Sucker Punch?
Yes.
Oh my god,
you didn't know it was a Zack Snyder production?
Mr.
300 himself. You guys,
now I'm concerned.
Hit and miss with that guy.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Wow. Well, I'm a fan of his work. I dig 300. I really dig Watchmen. And
continuity is pacing mean nothing to you if it's pretty on the screen. That is what I'm getting from you.
That's
not
true.
That is what I'm getting from you.
Yeah, because he Watchmen kind of cops
glacial. Glacial. Sucker. Continuity. Just pretty scenes. Just pretty scenes. That's it. That's all. Oh my god. They annoyed me.
Oh my god. I was so deep in thought.
Yes, you were unconscious again. You were thinking about what you're going to do the next day. It is not the film's job to put you in trance.
I watched it two or three times in theater. I couldn't get it out of my mind.
You hadn't woken up yet, is what happened. You just kept going.
Watchmen.
Watchmen. I hated that movie.
I watched it two or three times.
I can't watch it.
9 hours long. No.
That movie was so deep for me.
The fight scenes were faster in the original Batman movie. You know, like with Jack Nicholson and
I love Watchmen. I love it. I love the original. The source, the story being told, it's allegory at its deepest.
No. Oh, jeez.
It's a vapid cave.
No. Oh, no. I I cannot say enough good things about Watchmen.
No, you really can't.
No.
Oh, no, I love that movie.
Not enough good things to say about Watchmen.
No. Oh, man, I think it's a modern masterpiece.
The ending, no!
Now, I can understand destroying a Sucker Punch, even though I'm an apologist for that movie, but Watchmen, I think, is very superior.
I'm kind of an apologist for Sucker Punch, too. I will say that.
Because even Sucker Punch had me thinking about things after the fact, because I started realizing that it had a little bit of it was actually dream going on, which took me a while to wrap my head around in Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
But
I liked Sucker Punch.
But Watchmen is deep.
Well, not Watchmen, though.
Deep. Watchmen
it
really
was
deep.
Just, ugh.
I was fascinated by each, like, character.
Horrified for Superman.
Yeah,
I frightened.
I had no idea you guys did not know that.
No, I didn't know, and now, but maybe
that's why I was really wondering what the Superman's going to be like, because you know his movies all have like a weird graphic novel type of look, cinematography feel to them.
I like the look of them. I like the look of everything he's made. It's just
so I'm wondering how it's going to be. With Superman, you know, how's it going to be?
I thought the last one was slow. Give it to that guy? No.
Well, I believe it's not written by him, though, which Sucker Punch was written by him.
Oh.
Watchmen, of course, was not written by him. But
and it took him like 5 years to write Sucker Punch. No!
It took him 5 years to write that?
Yeah, something like that. I really
like
that.
No. I think it's going to be interesting to see Superman, because it's definitely going to be a departure, you know, whereas Superman Returns really wasn't any kind of departure.
Oh, that was a departure.
No, I mean, Superman Returns was, you know, it was definitely grounded in the original movie series, whereas I'm sure the new one is going to be a whole new take. So,
I'm not saying a thing. I'm just...
Well, thank you
for our second episode of Sci-Fi Party Line.
Yes.
There we go.
And Kat can get some sleep.
Get some sleep, girl.
All right. Thanks, guys. I'll let you know when the show's out.
All righty.
All right. Bye.
Bye. End of line.